Well, hello there. Good evening and welcome. Happy Independence Day. This is your Superstation Joy 99.7 FM, and this is Strong and Sassy. My name is Anima Animado. I hope you've had an amazing, amazing day. Hopefully you haven't tired yourself out too much because, well, for most of us, there's work tomorrow. So tomorrow's a pretty exciting day, though. Tomorrow is International Women's Day. So we're going to make a lot of... Friday. So we're going to make a lot of noise. Yes, we are going to make a lot of noise. So you just have to deal with us because that's just how we do. This year, the main theme was is invest in women, accelerate progress. So that's the overarching theme, and the campaign theme, which I'm sure you've heard, is inspire inclusion. So tonight we're going to have a conversation around this and what it really means. I mean, it sounds really nice, you know, inspire inclusion and all of that. But what does that really mean on the ground, in your workplaces, in parliament and government and everything that we do? We've been fighting for equality for a really long time. And even though we're getting closer, it seems to be taking a really long time. But that's just my opinion anyway. My name's Anima Animado. This is Strong and Sassy. And tonight, well, it's a very, very heavy panel. I must tell you, I must warn you. The women in this studio, Mikra, I'm feeling it a little bit. So first we have Theresa Ayaode. She's the CEO for Charterhouse. Joining us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Nima.
You're welcome. And then we have Evelyn Oyelamte. She's the Area Controller, Air Traffic Control, Ghana Civil Aviation Authority. And then finally, we have Becky Ahaji Esquire, Coordinator for Affirmative Action Bill Coalition. I'm dying to jump into the affirmative action. Like, we have not been affirmatively actioned yet. And it's been how many years?
Since 2011. We started the process since 2011. But thankfully, now it's actually in Parliament. It was laid in October, and it's gone through the first reading. It's currently before the Parliamentary Committee for Gender and Children. So we know they've met on it. So we met the speaker, I think, last month, and he told us that it's one of the things that they are focusing on. And so it's going to be passed, hopefully, before the end of the first quarter this year. So we want all the women to rally behind us.
The first quarter is ending...
It's ending March, yes.
Yeah, like in 3 or 4 weeks.
But then we are still hopeful. I mean, they've passed bills overnight in this country before, Be optimistic.
So, Theresa, how come this year? I mean, affirmative action is not necessarily, you know, like the theme for the, you know, International Women's Day, but somehow you've roped it in. Is there a particular reason why?
Well, the theme for the global theme for the International Women's Day this year is inspire inclusion. And that speaks directly to what we are trying to achieve with the affirmative action bill, where women are given parity in a bill that is backed by law. You know, currently we've been promoting a lot of inclusion. We've been talking about over the past couple of years, some of the themes that we've run for the International Women's Day have all spoken to gender parity.
Yeah.
Have spoken to, I think last 2 years it was break the bias. And so the conversations have always been around getting more women involved in decision making at various levels. And whilst we encourage society to do so, for society to accept women at various levels in society, for we encourage women to go climb up the corporate ladder and aim for the top and all of that, we can see there's a lot of progress. But what is the legislative tool backing us as women?
Yeah.
And if you look at the population of Ghana, I mean, we are so close. It's about 49.3 male to female.
Mm-hmm.
So
females 50.2.
Females 50.2. So, I mean, different sources. But Ghana has more women than men.
Than men, either
significantly.
Ways,
in some countries, it's more women. I mean, like, the gap is so wide. I know in East Africa, for example, there's like 1 to 3 men to women to men. You know, so... in terms of population size, there is parity. So how come if you look around in society, that parity doesn't exist? in corporate governance, in various careers and professions. We do not see that parity. So we believe that we, as a National Women's Summit, want to support the Affirmative Action Bill by availing a platform to be used for advocacy for this cause.
Okay.
And so we have partnered with the Affirmative Action Coalition, Affirmative Action Bill Coalition, to drive this message down and for all of us women to own it and not just leave it to just the coalition
to
so we are availing a platform for that advocacy because we feel passionately about that as well.
Well, that sounds good. And by platform you mean the National Women's Summit and Expo, which is happening tomorrow. So that's really exciting. It's happening on Friday.
It's a holiday.
Everything is like tomorrow. That's happening on Friday. So what exactly is the event?
So the National Women's Summit is the biggest conference for women in Ghana. We instituted it 6 years ago, and we felt that International Women's Day was a big deal, but somehow in Ghana it was being celebrated just in companies, offices, organizations. There was no big activity that was really rallying women around to have the big conversations that were driving agenda across the world. So we thought, let's hold this big event to have a voice in the conversations. And so we approached Joy FM to partner with us, and we started it in 2018.
This is the sixth year.
Yes, we had a few good years, and COVID came in.
And
we went down to ground zero, no gathering, all of that, and then we had to build it back up again slowly. So this is the biggest one yet. And it's scheduled for this Friday at the Accra International Conference Center. We're going to be having the plenary sessions in the auditorium and in the lobby and in the corridors. We're going to have a full-blown Everything Women Expo.
Wow.
We already have about 50 exhibitors signed up and more. And we are offering exhibitions across the different range of areas of interest for women. We have fashion and beauty. We have food. We have all sorts, health and wellness. So we have all these exhibitors there ready to offer their services and their wares to us as women. And you know, women, we like a bargain.
Yeah, of course.
A good bargain.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an opportunity to have meaningful conversations around womanhood.
To shop, eat,
to network, and just to fellowship with fellow women, you know, of same minds, of same aspirations, and meet new friends, make new friends, and broaden our network. They say women don't network enough.
I think that's true.
Yes, they say we don't network enough, but they say your network is your net worth. So we need to come together more as such gatherings, and you know, share ideas and basically just learn from each other and grow. The National Women's Summit is also a platform to bring women who have broken through the ceiling, the glass ceiling, who are really making great strides in various careers and profession. I'm particularly intrigued about Evelyn's career, I'm sure we will delve into it later, because I mean, when we were in school making career choices,
I don't think
we ever thought of the aviation industry.
Thought
if all you could do probably was an air hostess or a pilot. That was it. We were not even aware of all the other professions and careers in there, you know. So I think it's very laudable what she's been able to achieve, and I can't wait to hear her story. But on the panel, we try to look for women from different backgrounds who can share their stories and inspire the next generation of women leaders. So we've created three different panels.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to talk. But it's the whole day, though.
It's the whole day. The whole shebang.
Okay.
The whole day from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., we call it. And so what's going to happen is that we have the different panels scheduled for the day, and then we also have the an exhibition stage where we also have different conversations going on, and we have master classes also with different women groups in the various committee rooms. So there'll be different activities happening, and I'm sure we'll go into details of that.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it as we go along, because there's actually a lot to go through. I mean, if we're going to take the different conversations that are going to be happening, I know that we're going to be talking about workplace and community. There's going to be the leadership, the creative arts. So do you want to tell us a little bit of what, because I don't know how it's going to work. When people come in, are they going to have to decide, you know, after the main thing, they're going to have to decide, okay, which area do I need to go to? How is that going to work?
Okay, so when you come in, obviously you're going to go through registration, and then you get into the lobby, you can walk around, mail around. The program will start at 10 o'clock exactly. So we are expecting people to arrive from 9 o'clock
okay.
to come in. And the seats are really going up fast.
Yeah.
And so people need to come early so you can get a good seat.
A good seat, yeah.
And getting to the auditorium. We'll be live on Joy FM from 10 a.m. sharp. And so I will give the welcome address. We have our sponsors also giving some messages. And then we would have our keynote speaker.
Yes.
Who is the vice, none other than the first female vice chancellor of the University of Ghana, Legon. She's going to give the keynote address and she'll speak to the topic, inspire inclusion and other areas.
Mm.
And so she will be our keynote speaker. And then we would now move into the first plenary discussion, which would be the topic about inspiring inclusion in our workplaces and our communities.
Okay. So it's in that session that
Evelyn
would be
in that session.
Yeah, okay. So, Evelyn, let me come to you then. Let's start with your plenary. What are you looking forward to sharing? What are the parts of your experience? I know if you tell us, then it's as if you've told us before the program, but, you know, like a little appetizer, you know?
Thank you very much, and a pleasure is mine to be here. And we're looking forward to share stories, inspiring stories to empower the young women, because having few female in a male-dominated environment, it's quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that it is assumed that the air traffic services, women in general shy away from STEM disciplines.
Okay, so first of all, let me not pretend as if I know what it is. So let's start from there. So what does it mean that you're like an area controller? Like what is that?
Okay, thank you so much. For me to be an air traffic controller or an air traffic controller is a person who provide air traffic services. You provide alerting services. And you provide flight information services. So basically what you do is to separate aircraft from aircraft in the air. You separate aircraft and obstacles in the air.
Okay.
You separate aircraft and obstacles on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you provide all information pertinent to aid the pilot to have a smooth flight from one point to the other.
So yeah, the people who say, you know, don't land, turn around, circle for control 15 minutes, you know,
can't see of the movies, eh?
So it's just behind the scene,
yeah,
trying to do all the necessary tireless job to help.
Exciting, right?
Yeah, to help the pilots. I recently, I mostly tell me the invisible guiding,
person
like in the skies.
Because if you're not there, then there's likely to be
chaos.
Yeah, chaos.
In the sky.
Exactly.
Wow. So that's like a really male-dominated area.
Yes. As it stands now. Because looking at the total workforce of ATC personnel, the women are about 9%.
Oh,
wow.
Yes, just about 9%.
So if there's 100, then there's 9 of
them. Yeah. Just about 9%. So you could say that it's a male-dominated environment, and it's a bit challenging.
Is it tough being, like, you know, have you had to prove that I can do this? You know, does the gender thing really come into play?
Honestly, with every discipline, every working environment, you still have to show that you are competent enough to work.
Mm-hmm.
But with ATC, we have standard. We are being guided by standard and recommended practices.
Okay.
And the standard will not be lowered for a woman because you're a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play according to the rules.
Mm.
And for that matter, you have to justify your inclusion.
Right.
And so long as you are there, you know that it is worth, you are worth being there.
Because, yeah. So what kind of school do you have to go to do that?
Actually, you need to have a science background.
Okay.
You need to have a job, you need to have a science job, and then ICT.
I'm trying to see if maybe, you know, I can.
You were at this time.
Yes, so basically the science, yes. So just to delve more into that, with the ATC, you know, Accra, we have something we call the Accra FIR, which is the whole of Ghana.
Okay.
So we control the whole of Ghana, like the borders and some parts of the oceanic.
Okay.
And it's been segmented. Mm-hmm. We have three segments. We have the aerodrome. Those ones are the people that we see at the tower.
Okay.
So they are the tower. They have a limit that they have to control to. From there, they hand over to the approach controller, whereby approach controller also have a limit.
Okay.
And then you go, you get to the area. Okay. So it's like the area controller takes the rest of the airspace.
Okay.
So if you look at it, it's like the area controller owns the whole airspace, but you delegate those services to the approach controller and then the aerodrome controller.
Okay, I get that.
So basically, so in doing that, when an aircraft takes off, the tower person handles it. And when he's done with his limits, he hands over to the approach controller. Then approach controller also hands over to the area controller until you get out of the Accra FIR.
Wow.
And then when it's coming to the same area area controller handles it. So when you are getting closer,
so backwards from the going.
And then basically.
Is it good money? Nice.
Very important.
Actually, I mean, any money that you receive, you still want to ask for more.
Yeah.
So we can say that we are managing.
You're comfortable.
We are comfortable.
Interesting. Really sounds interesting. Very different career, you know, thing. Anyway, so that would be one conversation. That's workplace and community.
Yes.
Right. And then you also have, you're going to do leadership. Yeah. Women in leadership.
Yes.
I think, Becky, you are on that panel.
Yeah, I'm on that
so
panel.
So what are you looking forward to?
Sorry, Enyima, before you move on to the next panel, I'd also want to talk about the other speakers who would be with her on her panel.
All right.
We have... Madam Amma Sapombewa, she's the board chairman of Access Bank.
Okay.
I found it very important to put her on the panel because, again, there are very few, first of all, there are few women on boards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are few women board chairs.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a real achievement that we had to acknowledge and to also invite her to be able to share her experience, her career journey, and what led her there.
To go all the
because
way
I know
to,
that. Yeah. After she was appointed as board member, she sat as a board member for a while, and then she was now made board chair. You know, and I know that usually in companies and in, I sit on some boards, the percentage of women on the boards are very few. There's a public quota. I think in public organizations, they have a quota of at least three women per board.
Okay.
And I can assure you, this is the three.
I want two, three.
You know, it's a three. So if it's a board of 15, 10, 20,
it's three.
Yeah, we've observed
the
all. And that's the parity they are trying to achieve with the affirmative action bill, asking for 50% parity, you know. So I believe that for her to have ascended to that level, as I'm sure there are so many other women as well, but I would like to hear her story as well.
And also especially how much respect she must command to have been able to rise, you know, to that level.
And we want young ladies and girls in school to know that those are all other roles you can also aspire to.
Yeah.
These are, again, things that we don't speak about, so we don't even know that you can also aspire to be on sit on boards and rise to those levels. So that was a good one. And then we also have Dr. Celestine, who is from Goldfields. She's one of the top female executives in mining in Ghana. Again, another male-dominated industry. So would like to hear her words, what she has her story and what she has to share. And then we have, very unconventionally, a queen mother.
Yeah.
Yes. From the Ghana traditional area, who also would love to share her story of her career and how she, with being a member of a royal family, she was called upon to come and serve her community in another aspect of leadership.
Yeah.
And how challenging it was leaving a corporate job to take up that traditional role, and how she's advocating for more inclusion of our traditional rulers in our society, for them to play more a bigger role in our society at different levels. She has a very interesting story to
that
share,
and very interesting,
very, very interesting.
Yeah,
opened my eyes to a whole new world. You know, and you know, they're at the heart of society, and they get to hear a lot. People come to them, they counsel and advise, and so if we include them more in society, in decision making, we will gain a wealth of advantage.
You know, so especially because sometimes, you know, when you hear some of the conversations that go on in politics, and sometimes you wonder how in touch, you know, the people who are up there are, you know, with
the grassroots.
You have like somebody who is dealing with them every day and all of the problems. They're able to say, you know, this is what is important. This is what. So that's also very. And then obviously, I mean, if she's coming from corporate, then obviously she's also well educated.
Definitely.
So then it breaks that stereotype. You know, traditional leaders may not be as, you know.
And she's actually advocating for people to be able to accept these callings, like if you are, because apparently people run away.
people run away because of the spirituality.
The stigma. No, there's a stigma.
The story.
She said something about secrecy and you know, people not
the rituals,
not being aware, or people being scared of what they hear. But she is here to demystify it and to explain to us how we can marry both, because she felt that the traditional people are the custodians of our culture, and so we cannot leave them behind and move on. So in all these conversations of female inclusion, we should look at those roles in our society as well. And how we take them along. And I thought it was amazing.
Is that it? That's it for the...
That's for the first panel.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we can move to the women in leadership.
Yeah.
Is that fine?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah. So what are you looking forward to talking about, Becky?
All right. So with women in leadership, I think, like Theresa mentioned earlier, you see that when you look at Ghana, it looks like women are marginalized, especially when it comes to the key decision-making spaces. So, for example, if you look at our parliaments, we have 275 members, only 40 are women. Mm-hmm. And so that is a percentage of 14.55. And that's very, very, very below the standard. Now, as a country, we've signed on to a lot of treaties. One of them is the Maputo Protocol. We have the CEDAW. And according to the Sustainable Development Goal 5, every country is supposed to attain gender parity in your key decision-making spaces by 2030. Now, Ghana, here we are, it's 2024,
and we are
lagging behind. So the affirmative action law is the only guaranteed way. If you look at countries like Sierra Leone, you look at Rwanda, you look at Guinea-Conakry, you see that until a law is passed to give a legal mandate where it puts an imposition on political parties, it puts an imposition on the private sector as well, the boardrooms, that okay, you should have a specific minimum quota or representation of this gender. If we don't have a law, we've had policies, like she said, they failed. We've done advocacy that has failed. So right now we need a law. So when we talk about the affirmative action law, what it's going to do is that it's going to be a progressive increase and it's going to be temporary. I want to put that out there because some people feel like, oh, you're just coming for the women to take over the men. That's not what's going to happen. So we're going to start with a threshold of 30% when the law is passed. And over the years, it's going to increase to 40%. And then by 2030, it's in the law, by 2030, we should have achieved parity that is 50-50.
2030
is 6 years
away. 6 years away. The bill hasn't even been passed.
No, but let me give an example. In Sierra Leone, in 2022, they passed theirs, which is similar to ours. By the next year, when they had their election, it was last year, they already had 30% of women in parliament.
Okay.
And when it's going to, so it actually works. It's not like, if you, the moment you pass the law, it's going to give, it's going to be, I don't want to use the word compulsory, but it's going to be a compulsion. Make sure that if you're an organization, you need to follow the schedule. So you should have that gender code. So you should have that gender policy that ensures inclusion. The reason why we need the law is we can talk about it, but if people cannot go to court or if people cannot enforce the law, then there's no point. Policies, you can't hold a government to a policy, but then if it's a law, it's a legal mandate, we can do that. Now,
so sorry, before you continue, I just want to ask, so this is my fear, right?
What's your fear?
So for example, if we take politics, right, and we say that, okay, 30% of women in parliament, it's a law. How is the law going to compel more women to want to be in politics if the politics game is still dirty? But then the end goal, which is getting into parliament, is, do you get what I mean? Okay, it's a law now, you know, but how are we, or does, is it included that we're going to kind of, from the beginning, be nice, make room for women, have bathrooms on campaign trails?
So the good thing about this law is we've had stakeholder engagements. So we've had dialogue with the so that we get the political buy-in of the political parties. And another reason why, I don't know, I'm sure we made the news that the speaker was like, it shouldn't be passed under the certificate of urgency. The reason why he said that was he wanted stakeholder consultations into the bill.
13 years. There's no urgency anywhere.
No, but you see, like, you don't want a bill to be passed and then people say that they didn't have an input. And so in a way, it was a good thing that he did. Because of that, the coalition was able to bring memorandums. Anybody was interested in the bill was able to submit a memorandum. A memorandum is like your comments or inputs into the bill. And so we have engaged the political parties and all of that. So that political buy-in that we need. So what is going to happen is, and in the bill, I don't want to go into like the details of the bill, but it's good. Even the EC has an obligation in the bill, the Electoral Commission, I mean, has an obligation in the bill. You also have the political parties themselves. So what's going to happen? Let me explain this. Politics is not going to change. The game might not change, okay? But if you make it a compulsion where the parties know that if you don't present the women for nomination, because usually what happens, not like the women don't want to. So I can give an example. We had a woman, the recent local elections, the local government elections. Okay. So she wanted to contest. Mm-hmm. And then among the party, they came and said that, no, you don't contest. Another man should go. Okay. Usually that's what happens.
Okay.
But if now the party is under the compulsion that...
Looking for women who are actually...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, the party is now looking for women.
So that's what the law is going to do. So, you know, we have to change their ideology. And the only way sometimes they have to go through is making it a compulsion. That's the only way. And I don't think the narrative that the women don't want to go is the truth. Because sometimes when you go to the grassroots especially, they really do want to lead. We have women handling our markets, the market queens. They are doing exceptionally well. It's not like women don't want to. But sometimes these barriers are in place. But the only way we can remove these barriers is if we give them the space and say, look, you actually have a right to be here. We've given you this quota, I've given you this percentage to be here. The women get there, they begin to deliver, people begin to believe in their competence, and then from there their confidence builds up and we see more women being inspired to actually take it up. So that's how it's going to be. That's how we're going to be with the law. And it's going to work. It's worked in other countries and I'm very positive it's going to work with us too.
So why has it taken us a long time? Is it because of the you know, memorandum thing and the having people agree?
So the only time it ever got to parliament was in 2016. So usually, like I said, because this law affects every sector, it affects the private sector, it affects the public life, political participation. So usually what happens, so maybe you're doing consultations, it was in cabinets for the longest time because, you know, usually cabinet to sign off on a law before it gets to parliament. So in 2016 it did get to parliament, but then because it was elections, it lapsed. I think they laid it in parliament in October 2016 and then we had elections. And so when a new parliament comes, you have to start all over again. So that was the problem. Yes. So when you lay a bill,
so if we don't get it done this year.
Yes.
Yes. parliament,
yes. So that's why we are pushing so hard. Yes. And but this year we are very positive. That's why as a coalition, as a group of individuals and CSOs and women's rights organizations, we've been pushing so hard. We've met the committee ever since it was given to them. We've met them like 4 times. We're really pushing hard and we are hopeful that this time around the bill will get passed.
Yeah.
I think it's about lobbying. It's about how hard we lobby.
Yes.
And that's why we are committing our platform to support the voices behind the coalition to be heard. Yeah. So that more women are aware of this bottleneck, and the fact that we all need to make our voices be heard about this bill so that it can get passed quickly. Because if we want to achieve parity by 2030, we are way behind.
You know? Anyone will need you and the media as well.
We always do our best.
So the education of exactly what's going on is important. And I guess people listening today have been educated.
Yeah.
And so when we call for support or our voices to be heard, people will rally behind us and make our voices heard. Through their, and every woman here who has a female parliamentarian should lobby them that please, we want this bill passed.
You are when in parliament,
speak for it.
Yeah.
You know, so we can build a strong lobby to have this bill passed. And that's one thing we want to do during the summit. We actually are going to present, we have a group of young girls and young women who are going to present a petition to our parliamentarians for this bill, for the best of this bill.
Yes.
So that'll be part of the program on Friday.
Right. So I feel like, I mean, apart from us lobbying, you know, with the women and all of that, I mean, I think that in every home, the role that a woman plays is so pivotal. So please, when you're rubbing your husband's head, let's start from there. When you are serving the food, when you are doing all those things, you know, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like we're at the mercy of the men, but they are the majority, you know. So please let the influence start working from the kitchen to the bedroom to the car to the, until they have no peace. And then, you know,
and I also like to add that we are talking about their own wives. It's giving space to your daughter.
Exactly.
Like, you're investing in her to go to school and all of that. Imagine having your daughter now having the chance to stand for a position. So I think the men shouldn't be detached in a way to think it's just a group of women who want power. No, it's about your sister, it's about your wife, it's about your daughter, it's about your mother. If you can entrust, because sometimes, like you said, we play a pivotal role. You can entrust your wife to run the house.
You can entrust it to feed you, and you don't know what's in the food.
But when it comes to like public life or political leadership or being in the boardroom, then you think she doesn't deserve to be there. I think We should start, as even as men and as women, start thinking about the fact that we're talking about your neighbor, you're talking about your wife, your sister, someone that you can entrust everything to. You should be able to entrust us with.
Definitely. With, I think that if we take personal responsibility for it, we'll have a good chance at.
Yeah.
All right. So that's us talking about leadership. So who else is on the...
So on the panel, we also have... the Swiss ambassador to Ghana, Her Excellency Simone Geiger. She's the ambassador to Ghana, Togo, and Benin. She'll also be talking about her leadership journey and how she's come this far. So it would be great to hear examples and a story from another part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have Miss Odilia Ntiamwa. She's the executive director of the Oxford African Women Leadership Institute. She has dedicated herself to doing research amongst women. So she has a lot of data to share. Oh, I think she's interviewed about 2,000 women.
Oh, wow. That's
a lot of women. And you know, data is king nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear the insights she has gained and she has
from
gathered.
From the data, yeah.
And what she has to share with us from the world of womanhood.
Yeah.
Facts don't lie.
Facts don't lie.
Yeah, so that was a good one. And then we also have the country director of Plan International Ghana, who are doing a lot of work with girls and young women across the country. Inspiring leadership in them. And so they have a program called She Leads.
Okay.
And it's about going around and getting young ladies to step up for leadership roles. And my encounter with them actually changed my mindset because my daughter had the opportunity to run for school prefects. And in the past, probably I wasn't really like interested, or not necessarily not interested, but like whatever they wanted to do, she could do. But this time, because I had been on that program with them, I'd been trained by them, I realized that, no, I have to encourage her. I actually asked her, so are there any leadership positions in your school? If there's anything up for leadership, run for it. So I had to encourage her. She hadn't thought about it properly. But when I spoke to her and I encouraged her, she stepped forward.
Yeah.
And she ran for school president, for girls president.
Nice.
And I mean, she didn't get a girls president, but at least she got
the experience of
running.
Yeah.
You know, stepping up for leadership. So it's something that we need to encourage our young children to do, especially from childhood.
Yeah.
you know, encourage them to step up. And you know those things when they say you are too known, you are this and you are that. You know, as we've grown up as adults, we realize that being too known is a blessing.
I know, right?
it's a blessing.
To speak up.
Being confident and assertive. Yeah, it's actually a plus.
Yeah.
You know, so just try to instill all these things in these children so that they do not feel left behind. Mm. And that brings me to one of the panels that will be one of the master classes that we will be doing on the day as well. We are running that with MEST, the MEST Institute, and it's on confidence, growing your confidence
A
woman.
That's okay.
So it's called Radiant Voices, Growing Confidence in Women. So that's an interesting master class that I feel
Radiant Voices, growing your confidence.
Growing your confidence, yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that are constantly coming at you.
So we're saying women should step up, should go for it, should do this. But some people may not be feeling confident, don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
They don't understand how to step up. What it means. Some people feel that stepping up means you are being too known or being rude or aggressive, you know. But then I think a great conversation will be held around that.
I mean, if it's not too late or if they haven't already added that to what they're talking about, it's also, I think, speaking to women about the what comes with stepping up. You know, the criticism.
The backlash.
The backlash, the insults, the, you know, I always give this example. There's one parliamentarian who she was running as member of parliament, and when she posted it, all the comments under were like, why are you not married, like, go and get married, like, what are you doing, go and get, you know. And if you're not ready for that, then, you know, you've found the confidence, you've stepped up, and then
you can take that confidence away
completely, you know. Quickly. So that's that. And then I think there's also the creative arts.
Yes, we have the creative arts.
Women in creative arts.
Because I'm a woman in creative arts.
Yes, nice.
We're thinking, why are we having all these conversations? And honestly, if you look at the creative arts industry, it's also suffering from the death of women.
Yeah.
There are just not enough women. If you look even at the female artists, the musicians and performers, it's probably a case of one in three.
Or four.
Or even four. You know, you don't find them. They're very few and far in between, very rare commodities, you know. So we need to really, again, inspire inclusion in the creative arts for women.
Or they are also then, even where they're thriving, they are sidelined. So in shows, they're like the backing vocalists. So it's like very stereotypical role.
Yes, you're very right about usually, that. So we felt that there needed to be a conversation about that sector as well. And so we've created a beautiful panel of key players in the industry, and we got a cross section across the various various industries in the creative industry. We have the from the singing, from the musicians, we have Adina and Jackie. From the movie industry, we have Lydia Fawson and Nash Okor. And then from we have the world of dance as well.
Vivi's Dance Factory.
And then we have Endurance, and then we from Fashion.
That took me by surprise. You know, having Endurance, I mean, obviously she does great. She's very big on TikTok and stuff.
Yeah.
But we haven't really pulled dance. For example, you know, TikTok has made dance a thing.
Yes.
Do you realize that Ghanaians are always dancing? We're always dancing to something.
Yes. Africans are always.
We haven't been able to make it a thing.
So I'd love to hear their stories as dancers, professional dancers, and what are the challenges they face, and what can we do to get more women to live out their dreams and their talents and thrive in their talents, you know. And of course, from the fashion world of fashion, we have Sumaya Jetro from Pistis and Selena from Beb. Selena Beb.
So I love that you've really added Selena Beb as well, because then what you've done is that you've kind of balanced the slim people with the
inclusion.
So I love that.
So it's not all like the serious hard talk.
There's also
going to be the entertainment aspect of it and all of that, you know.
And kind of getting women to be more. I remember the first time I saw the endurance squad, they were dancing on the street in East Saigon in front of Pinocchio, and like that's how they make the videos, and you're like, wow. It's like so bold, you're stopping traffic to dance in the middle which is probably just in Ghana that something like that can happen. I don't know about that happening in other places. But I think those are your three main
panel discussions. We also have some masterclasses. I mentioned the one we're doing with
Miss Confidence Radiance.
Yes. And then we also have one with Executive Women Network.
Okay.
They did a big conference last year, and they have a journal that they are launching for women to be able to use to track their goals and their plans, etc., so that we are more intentional in our growth.
Okay.
Yeah, so they want to launch the journal and then also have a masterclass about the power of collaboration
as women.
So that's what we have, up to two major masterclasses that will be running.
So you have minor masterclasses?
Yes. So those will run at some point during the day.
Okay.
I think that will be in the afternoon.
Okay.
So the plenaries will run in the morning, two plenary discussions in the morning, masterclass, and then the last one for the creative arts, that will run from about 2 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds packed.
It's a packed day. And of course, we have all the exhibitions in between.
Yeah.
And so, then, of course, let's not forget the Pad a Girl initiative also.
Yes.
Because, again, we wanted to really do some advocacy. So the Affirmative Action Bill is one. The next one is the Pad a Girl initiative.
22 cities. Had 22 CDs.
So you can imagine.
2 years ago, it was like 6 CDs. Then last year, it was like, okay, 12, 13. And then now it's 22 CDs.
Making it even worse.
Seven balls of kink if you buy the CDs. It's a lot. You know, and if you're a heavy bleeder, I'm sorry if I'm going to be a bit, you know, like, whatever. But if you're a heavy bleeder, you could go through maybe 3 packs per period if you're 3 to 5 days or 5 to 7 days. That's about 70 CDs or 80 CDs.
So you can imagine the children in the rural areas, I mean, what they're going through. Like, because what it means now for them is that when they are in their period, they have to stay home.
They don't go to school.
They don't go to school. So you can imagine how all your efforts to get them to go to school and to get them to be with the pack now just gets delayed.
Out of a month.
You're home. So you're always playing catch up.
Yeah.
So that's a big issue that we haven't really thought about, but it's really affecting the education of young girls. And in partnership with Plan International and another organization, we are going to set up pad banks.
Okay.
And so people can
donate. That would be amazing. Yeah.
People can donate during the event towards the pad banks, which will be now the money we use to buy parts and also seek sponsorship from some of the manufacturing companies to buy in bulk at discounted prices to supply.
It should be something that's not expensive, honestly, because it's every human being came as a product of a woman's not having a period because she had her period. So it should be, you know, it's anyways.
Yeah. And I think this goes back to why we need more women in parliament, because it was a tax law that was passed and it considered pads as a luxury item. Oh. But if we had people who were gender sensitive, so that's what caused
the gender sensitive one, because of their period, they can't do the things they want to do. But it's expensive. They didn't think about that.
So that's why if we had more women, then someone would have said that no, you can't tag this. This is because it's like more. Almost mostly, maybe you should call it like a biological right of a woman, and you would tax it. And how can pads be more expensive than condoms? Sorry to use that comparison.
No, it's a good comparison.
But yes, you see, and so
condoms are cheap,
and pads, rather than you don't have a choice every month, unless of course you want to get pregnant. And so that's why we need more women in these key decision-making spaces. We can be able to interrogate our laws, not consider, oh, how is this policy or this law going to impact the details, a woman as much as a man? Yeah. We need to be there so that you have this perspective, the perspective of a male and a female. You bring that together and make sure that holistically the law benefits both.
Does this mean that nobody raised it?
I think that they
just went bzzz.
You know, tax laws are passed overnight in this country. But right now, we have a lot of women's rights groups, I know. And I think as Honorable Susu, I think they are going back to parliament. They're trying to find a way to reduce the tax percentage on that, so just to, because right now we can't keep buying parts. We need to rather reduce the taxes on it so that it's affordable.
Yeah.
Yes, we can't keep reacting. We have to deal with the problem from the grassroots so that we make it more.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
That took me by surprise.
Conversation. Yeah. So we hope to achieve all of this all in one day.
That's a lot on Friday.
So that's why it's a full day's affair from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then, of course, in the later in the evening, it's a happy hour. We have food, we have drinks. And again, like we talk about networking, and we have a fashion show as well to just get people entertained and to expose and promote some new young designers.
Theresa, I mean, let's talk about networking for a second, right? Mm-hmm. And why it's so difficult for women to, I don't understand what it is. Is it, are we some way? Is that what it is? Because, you know, like, even men find it so easy. You know, they get in there, say, oh, yeah, bro, yeah, chale. No, but with us, we're so, you know, so I'm excited about the fact that there's a networking event, uh-huh. but then I'm concerned about whether people are actually going to, you know, find the courage to participate. And then when somebody comes up to you, are you going to be nice or are you going to be,
I feel that after work, the reason why we've created a happy hour is so that those who were not able to get off from work to be part of the full day activity can still pass through and be part of the International Women's Day celebrations and activities, because some people may not be able to get off from work. So that's the opportunity to just come, hang around the exhibition, be part of the conversations that you can catch, and meet people. So, you know, one thing I know about networking is that you have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional about it. It's not my strongest forte. But I'm learning as I've grown older that it's very important, and we must learn to make it, do it intentionally. I think from women, maybe we are always rushing home after work to do something at home, the children homework, etc. So we don't even think about it. Whereas the men,
even at church,
you know, rushing home to.
Is that always the
whatever.
Rushing home, or is it just that women are not nice?
Evelyn, do you have anything
to
say?
I think we are nice.
I don't think we are. Because sometimes people come up to you, and even like you gather up the courage to go to somebody and say hello, and then they're
and
like,
then the reaction.
Hi. And you're like, so.
We can do better.
Yeah. So maybe you can give us some tips for networking.
That would be a good,
how
a good suggestion.
Effectively network.
Network.
Yeah. Opening lines, open statements, how to react, how to. Because we're very judgmental too. Like somebody
was
saying,
yeah, very judgmental. Yeah. And like Theresa said, you have to be intentional about the networking. Sometimes you can approach somebody, you're trying to get the person's attention so that you can just say hello, but then the reaction, it's something
else. Yeah.
So for me, I believe that maybe we can always have the smile on. So you can just have the smile on. Sometimes your smile can attract somebody to just come on. And then we can also have just an open mind, because we women, we have so much things on our mind. And also you could see that sometimes somebody would also give you a reaction, but she's thinking about something else. You might not know what is bothering the person. But we need to be.
It's women who are like that too. Why are we like this? I'm very concerned.
I think any woman, your program Strong and Sassy should have
We'll do a show on networking.
Yes, I would love to listen to it.
Yeah, we'll do a show on networking because it's a bit tough. I think is there a you know the elevator pitch?
Yes.
Is that what networking must be like? You know, in the first few seconds, you must sort of make yourself worthy so that you can command this person. Because if, for example, somebody wanted to meet you, you know, in the first place, they're probably scared, you know, and all of that. Then they come and say hello. But they want to make an impression so that doesn't just look like, you know, oh, I am, you know, I'm just coming to, you know, for skin, you know, that kind of thing. So how do they, or let me flip it. How does somebody catch your attention?
Yeah.
You know, so that it's just not another person come say hello. Because it's just a hello.
Hello,
and then
yeah,
it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I think there are ways to do it. There are ways to do it. I mean, there are things that are called things like icebreakers and open-ended questions and things like that. I'm not an expert in that, so I can't speak to it.
I'm sorry.
But I know I myself, I find it very difficult when I go into, because I'm a very private person. So when I go into a gathering, honestly, I like to just observe. be in my corner and observe.
And just observe and
learn and pick from people and all of that. And I tend to gravitate towards the people I know.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's very difficult to just talk to a random person. Yeah. So I need to learn myself.
Okay.
So please, when you do that session,
we'll let you.
I would like to join.
That's what Sister Bex, she's very good as networking. So
I don't think so. I'm very naturally introverted, I think.
Yes, so how women are. You see what I was saying?
But I was about to say it's our socialization, probably. Mm-hmm. Usually we grow up and maybe the boy is allowed to go and play around and all of that, make friends, soccer, yeah, in the group and all of that. But you're home, you're in the kitchen with mom and all of that, you don't really engage. And then by the time you get to, for me, I would say it's law school that helped me. That's how come now I don't have a choice, but I have to speak out. I don't have a choice, but I have to speak to clients and get clients. So that's how it works. But for me personally, another tip I can give
is
I would say that be a person of value. If you want someone to mentor you, or if you want to speak for Theresa like this, maybe just read up about something she's interested in. Use that as an opening. I think our generation, we don't want to put in the work. Research on the person. If it's something the person likes, use that as an opener. Usually that's what I do, so that when I do that and I get your attention, and also be willing to serve. Like if there's something you can help her out with,
that's a good one.
I think sometimes we just want, I want to catch this person's attention, but if you want someone to mentor, you want someone to also give back to you, be a person of value, give them something. Even if it's maybe I can handle your social media accounts, you know, I'm good with this, can I help you with your branding and all of that. You do that, and then but sometimes you can't just go and say hello and you're not bringing any value. They are busy. Yeah, they don't have time.
I love that. Thank you.
No, just say hello and just say
hello.
And
look at you and move on.
Exactly.
I think, Evelyn, were you saying something?
Yes.
Yes, I was going to say that I used to have that challenge.
Okay.
It was difficult for me to network until I decided that I want to be intentional about it.
Mm.
I want to, even if you give me that reaction, I'll still come. Whether you give me the reaction or not, I'll just still come. If you avoid me next time, I'll still have to come.
Wow.
But if it becomes frequent with that kind of reaction, then I'd have to advise myself. But then
persistence.
I mean, like you rightly said, you just have to give the person maybe, well, how can I help you? I do that a lot.
How can I help?
I just stepped out.
How can I help?
And that is very, very important, and it had also helped me a lot. Yes,
right. Okay. So we'll do a show on networking soon. I can promise you that. But we have about 5 minutes, Theresa. So maybe before we do, just a quick run through for Friday. What are some of the benefits? Like, if I come, you know, apart from, you know, hearing all these things, which is like the number one benefit. You know, what are some of the things that I can really look forward to taking away from?
I think that the first thing would be there would just be such a positive energy about the place, of women of like minds, eager to learn and progress and move on in life. So there's this inspiration that you pick from being there. You'll be motivated to move on in your journey, your life's journey. You'd gain a higher sense of purpose, of value. You get more clarity on your path, and also you meet new people, you make new friends, and of course you get a shop at good value. And be involved in everything happening, and be up to date and current of what's happening in the world of womanhood. Sometimes we are in a little silos. We are stuck in our little circles that we've created around us. Go to church, work, home, you know, and you're interacting with the same people in your network. Your network is not widening, it's not opening, it's not broadening. Events like this help to broaden all of that. So you will leave the venue with more value, more added value to yourself than before. And it'd just be a great day to be part of what is happening in the world of womanhood.
I mean, it sounds definitely very interesting, and looking forward to the keynote speaker. I mean, that's really something amazing, and all the sessions and stuff. All right. So, can you just run us through, can we just come first of all?
Yes, yes. It's admission is free, but we also have a registration process. So you can pre-register or you can you have to register at the entrance when you get there. But admission is free generally because we just want to open it up for as many people as who are interested in adding value to their life as possible. And also we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors. You know, events like this can never happen without our sponsors. Someone needs to pay the bills, so if we are not charging for people to attend, then someone must be paying the bills. So we say thank you to our sponsors, our headline sponsor Geisha, who has been with us since last year, and and then we also want to say thank you to Frito, who have also sponsored us along the line and are still supported us. So I say thank you to MTN, to Ecobank, and to Enterprise Life Insurance as well.
And Charterhouse, maybe?
And of course, Charterhouse. The team at Charterhouse who are working tirelessly behind the scene to make this work. I have my project manager here, Barbara. She couldn't join the panel, but she's here, but to at least be part of the process. She's been working so hard. and the entire team. And of course, we thank you, Joy FM, for your support.
Oh, well, welcome. Well. Thank you so much for sharing your evening with us. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, then there'll be a lot more Friday at the International Conference Center.
Yeah, Accra International Conference Center.
And it's from 9 a.m.
Yes.
Admission is free, but you have to register. So if you want to pre-register, how do we do that?
We have, if you visit our social media pages, we have the registration QR code there.
Okay.
So that's the National Women's Summit GH.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can pre-register so that when you get there,
you have a seat. So pre-register before you get there.
So a very big thank you, Theresa Yaode, CEO for Charterhouse, Evelyn Oyelamte, Area Controller, Air Traffic Control, Ghana Civil Aviation Authority, and Becky Ahaji Esquire, very hopeful coordinator of the Action Bill Coalition. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, let me do a quick... happy birthday to Mr. Eben Lamte, who's Transport Officer, Ghana Revenue Authority. And a big thank you to the whole team, production.